This is Matthew's version of Jesus' words to us. And I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us right now. Open our hearts, open our ears to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We started a new series last week, Sayings of Jesus Revealing God's Heart. And last week it was If Looks Could Kill, and Mary spoke to us about murder and anger. This week we're going to be looking at Sayings of Jesus Revealing God's Heart. Seeing with pure eyes. Do you know, it's always exciting when the Termly Rota comes out. I'm always excited. What exciting, challenging passage might I be asked to preach on? I'm feeling slightly less excited this time, more terrified. But I'll say from the start, I'm not going to pretend that I've got this sorted. I haven't. But actually, this passage is ultimately encouraging and full of grace and hope and life. It's at its heart about seeing people as God sees them, without judgment, condemnation, without lust, but with unconditional love. Well, we all know that all good sermons have three points, and this is going to be no different. Statistics, explanation, x-ray. I'm not going to tell you what that spells. Last week, Mary was talking to us about righteous anger. There's a good righteous anger. Sex within God-given biblical boundaries. There's a righteous sex that is good. But there's also a darker side to anger, and there's a darker side to sex. And so we're going to be looking at some of the statistics. What is the reality of the darker side to sex? What lies are being fed to younger generations on a daily basis? What are Christians, church leaders, and a whole generation of children being exposed to? And what challenges is the church facing in this area? An explanation. What is Jesus getting at in this passage? What is his message? And why is it so important to us today? An X-ray, what is going on in your heart? Are you struggling in this area? Do you know others who are struggling? Are you parents, grandparents? If you're not struggling in this area, who can you be praying for and how? S. Sex is good. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? I can promise you that there will be no turning to your neighbour this week. But God-given, biblical-based sex is good. There is no other approach to sex that has the beauty, the freedom, the life enhancement that God's approach has. Many secular writers and thinkers, for example, Louise Perry, who wrote The Case Against the Sexual Revolution, are beginning to realize that. And yet we live in a society that is overly sexualized, a society that is told people want porn and promiscuity. We often don't have an open conversation about sex, sometimes especially in church, probably to most of our relief. We have this no sex please, we're British attitude sometimes. And whole generations didn't really talk about sex. Many of us will be big fans of Miranda, where of course her mother talks about things rather than saying the word. Lady Anne Glencomer, who in her book Lady in Waiting tells how her mother explained to her about having sex using a very strange anecdote about their family dog and a visiting Labrador, which left her far more confused and ignorant than before. Well, possibly because of that kind of historic attitude to sex, there can be a huge amount of ignorance because of the challenges facing young people. Ofcom in June of this year threw out some statistics. 8% of children aged 8 to 14 visit an online porn site or app in a month. The average age of first exposure to online porn is 12. 50% of boys have viewed pornography by the age of 13, 50% of girls by 15. Nearly 14 million people view online pornography on a regular basis. 25% of 14 to 18-year-olds in a 2023 survey said that they watched pornography on a regular basis. 1 in 5 said they had a habit. 1 in 10 said that they were addicted. The correlation between sexual abuse and watching pornography is very high. There was a TV program a few years ago where parents were exposed to what their children were seeing online. Some parents wanted to be physically sick. Many expressed a complete ignorance of what their children could access. Many were concerned that they were being rapidly left behind by technology. This is a big area. It's facing us, it's facing our society, it's facing our children, our grandchildren, boys and girls. And of course, we've just been reminded that this is Safeguarding Sunday. Having an understanding of these issues and challenges is all of our responsibility. E, explanation. What is Jesus getting at? Well, the context of what he is saying is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, or the be like Jesus in your attitude, be attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed. There is a deep down joy that cannot be touched or taken away. For those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. And this is in stark contrast to the hypocrisy that Jesus is addressing, to those who boast that they haven't physically committed adultery while lustfully gawping. Jesus is talking about the connection between the eyes and the imagination, between wishful thinking and our heart's desires. When we look at something, our imagination comes into play, doesn't it? Think of holiday adverts. I can imagine myself, in fact, remarkably easily, being out in the Caribbean or skiing down pristine snow-covered slopes, swimming in beautiful crystal-clear turquoise seas. We see, we imagine, we set our hearts on it. There was an advert a few years ago, I think for a watch, that went, admire, aspire, acquire. Julius Caesar famously came saw conquered. King David saw Bathsheba. His imagination went wild, and he set his heart on having her. Eyes in imagination can control our heart's desire. They shape our wishes and direct what we set our hearts on. And Jesus is saying, look, this is about your internal heart's desire. Do you want a wrong relationship or a right relationship? Don't pretend that you're not broken in your heart when you really are. Deal with it and address the brokenness. Jesus is drawing us back to the Beatitudes. If you're pure in heart, if you are careful about what you look at, if you see with pure eyes, you will see God in all his majesty and glory and power. And that will give you such a deep down joy that cannot be touched or taken away. But if you're constantly looking at impure stuff, it's like you're coating your eyeballs with gunk. It's like you're giving yourself spiritual cataracts. Charlie Kirk. Well, we've all heard about him in the news in the past few days, but he had a fascinating interview with a lady called Nala Ray. And Nala Ray was one of the top earners in the OnlyFans platform. And they had this conversation, and Charlie Kirk was talking about porn being an addictive opiate. And Nala Ray said, yeah, it shuts men down, yet they are supplying the demand. Charlie Kirk said, it's an addiction, a cancer. You need to deal with it as you would an addiction or a cancer. Root it out immediately and aggressively. And Jesus says, tear your eye out. Chop your hand off before it consumes your whole body. Get it sorted quickly, ruthlessly, and vigorously. And there are some great organizations out there to help. There's Triple X Church, Covenant Eyes, and some little everyday tips. I used to, many years ago, go to a church called All Souls Langham Place, and there was a vicar there called Rico Tice. And I remember him saying, if you catch yourself looking at a beautiful woman, and he wasn't just addressing me, he was addressing the whole congregation. Praise God for her beauty. Pray God's blessing on her. And pray for the next woman you see. And the next person you see, and the next. Be alert to when you feel most vulnerable. H-A-L-T, halt, might be when you're hungry or angry or lonely or tired. This isn't a passage about shame. It's a passage, actually, at its heart about looking after yourself well. In the first service, the 9:30 service, we also had a passage from 1 Timothy read, where Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he is commending to them young Timothy. And he says to Timothy, be an example in purity, in your words and your actions. Treat those older than you, younger than you, of both genders, with purity. Treat others not as objects to be sexualized, but with love and compassion, seeing them as God sees them, having the Heavenly Father's heart of love for each one. X for X-ray. What's going on inside you? It's easy to come to church, catch up with old friends, meet new ones. God knows, and you know what's going on in the inside. I love fresh starts. I love the start of the autumn Michaelmas term, the new academic year. New classes, new teachers, new shoes, new pencil cases, all new and shiny. A chance to turn over a new leaf, a chance to press the reset button. A new opportunity for us to take stock, for us to ask the question, what's really going on in our hearts? What are we looking at? What are we allowing to affect our imaginations, that is affecting our desires? How gunky is our purity level? The oil light came on in our car a few weeks ago, so I pulled into a petrol station and bought some oil and filled it up. But the oil light was still on. And I soon realized that the oil had become so gunky that actually it needed a proper clean. Are you in need of a deep down proper clean? We know this is a big issue. We know that some will undoubtedly be struggling. But this is not about weighing you down with shame. This is about a chance for a new start, a new opportunity to confide, to resolve, to recommit. We all know, don't we, that the newness doesn't stay new for very long. New schools have the same shouty sports teachers. New teachers still hand out detentions. New shoes have their backs broken down in no time. New pencil cases have ink stains on them in a matter of days. The good news is that God doesn't only give us new starts on the 1st of January or the start of a new academic year. The good news of this passage is that Jesus doesn't want followers who pretend they've got it all sorted. Those who pretend they're perfect on the outside, but in their hearts, they're rotten. He wants to welcome sinners who want to be saved. He wants those who are determined to be pure in heart. He wants those who long to see Jesus, who long to see God. For them, for us, he offers his abundant grace. He pours out and pours out and pours out his Holy Spirit. He is the chance to break free. It might be that you've come this morning and you've got unconfessed sin for attitudes from the past, from decades ago. I don't know if you've seen the new Downton Abbey film. Let's have a show of hands. Anyone seen? A few people. Sarah took the girls to see it a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, I had a previous engagement. And in preparation for seeing it, our 13-year-old, Ariana, binge-watched Downton Abbey. She was determined to catch up, so she sat down and started at series one, episode one. And they're like 100 series now, aren't they? I mean, they're quite a lot. And she came in and she said, Daddy, I just find it really weird, some of the attitudes that people used to have. I don't understand all the sort of differences. It's just not like that anymore. And attitudes, of course, change. And they change over the decades. But it's easy, isn't it, to sweep things under the carpet, to pretend because attitudes have changed that somehow they were right 20, 30, 40 years ago. The great thing about Jesus' teaching about our attitudes is that Jesus' teaching hasn't changed. Jesus' teaching is exactly the same. If we want to see God, we need to be careful with what we look at, what we allow to capture our imaginations. But if we do, then we will see God and we will be truly blessed. Why don't we pray? I'm really conscious that we've got prayer ministry as always at the back, but this might be an area that you want to just pause and reflect and do business with God this morning. But Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you are a God who longs to pour out your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. You are a God who longs for us to see your Father heart for every single person we come into contact with. Draw close to us now through your Holy Spirit. Show us areas that we need to put right. And we know that you convict without condemning. And Father, we repent where we have got it wrong. We repent where our attitudes have been so far from yours. And we receive your forgiveness, knowing that you have dealt with sin on the cross. And Father, we commit to keep on praying in the weeks and the months ahead for the generations that have followed us, for those 80 plus children going to Alpha today, for that whole generation and future generations. That are going to be challenged in this area of purity. Would you help us to take on board those words to Timothy, to be an example in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in spirit and faith and purity, to love others, to see others as you see them, to love them with the same unconditional passionate love. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.